Wow, wonderful training. If we can learn this one thing and go home and practice, this is worth the whole training. This is our lack and is our need. This morning, the topic is moving into God's spiritual world. Hallelujah. Moving into God's spiritual world. I was looking back and to figure out how did Brother Lee get into this point about the two worlds. I don't know if you remember that. It was in the second meeting. First meeting, he said the two crucial words were personal and affectionate. Remember? Then the second meeting, the two crucial words were private and spiritual. And then he first talked about being private, and then he talked about being spiritual. When he touched the matter of being spiritual, then suddenly he come in with these two worlds, the physical world and the spiritual world. Actually, it's not suddenly, but he got into it to explain to us that there are two worlds existing together in this universe. And then he progressed to explain to us what's the physical world and what's the spiritual world, and then there's a transition from, we are having a transition from the physical to the spiritual. Let me review a little bit about these two worlds, but our burden still is on how to come to the spirit, come to the inner chamber to experience the Lord, to touch him. That's the crucial thing. It's not understanding of the two worlds. There's still nothing. The understanding of anything we talk about here, is for us to experience the Lord. If we only pick up the terms, pick up the understanding, pick up the verses, the references, we can repeat it, we can say it, we can teach it. And at the end, we haven't gained it, we haven't obtained it, we haven't experienced it, then it's all empty doctrine to us. Right? We don't want that. But if we don't have the understanding, we don't have the view, we don't have the vision, we cannot get into the experience. All our experiences will be very shallow and very low. So we must see what the Lord is trying to show us first and then enter into the experience. So this message is, this meeting is not really talking about the two worlds. It's talking about how to experience entering into the spiritual world. Right? Okay. The physical world actually started with God's creation. That's the old creation. He created something for us so that we may exist on the earth for his purpose. Except Satan came in to distract man, lure man away from God's purpose by coming to Satan and taking the tree of knowledge. You know that. And then the sin entered into the world, entered into man. So it developed the flesh. So Satan is a source. The nature of Satan, which is sin, entered into man. Then man became fallen as a flesh. These are the three unholy trinity. This is a Satan, sin, and the flesh, the fallen man. These three are one evil trinity, working three in one together to develop the physical world to become a cosmos. That is this age, to detain people from God's economy, to distract people from God's economy. So this is what it is. And even to persecute the ones who are for God's economy, to delay the ones who are for God's economy. Sometimes is using the good things of this cosmos to attract you, so you become distracted from God's economy. There is the lover coming to woo us. Then there is this distraction taking our heart away. So where are we going? Are we going for our loved beloved, or are we going for the world? So there is a fight between the two worlds, the physical and the spiritual. So the physical world offers a lot of good things to distract us, but also attack us persecute us. Right? So good and evil all are there in this physical world. Then the spiritual world started like this, is that God did not let man completely go to waste because he loves the world. That world there does not mean cosmos, but the, you know, John 3:16, Brother Lee quoted, God loves the world. The world there means the people that are in the world. So God loves the world. So he still loves us as a beloved, as a bridegroom, as a male seeking for the female to come back to him. Though our heart has been robbed, though we have been corrupted, we have been ruined, we are under destiny to the lake of fire, he still loves us. He never gave us up. In the Christianity, when they use John 3:16, that, by the way, that is the most popular verse in the whole Christianity, John 3:16. If you get a Gideon Bible, they have many translations of John 3:16 right in the front of the Gideon Bible. So that is a very loved, well-revered verse of the Bible. If you don't know any verse in the Bible, you probably know John 3:16. Okay. Except the understanding of John 3:16 is shallow among most Christians because they think that man is in a pitiful condition on the lake away to hell, so God loves man, so God wants to save man and then bring man away from the eternal perdition and have eternal life. What they mean is live forever in heaven and play golf or something else. Okay, but that is not God's view. God's view is a love affair. It's a pursuit of God to man. God pursues man to be his love, to be his lover. This is a wonderful picture. Okay, so God loves the world, so he came. He still loves us. He loved us, that's why he created us. He, in his creation, he loved us, that's why he gave us a beautiful setting to live, to exist, so that we can love him. Though we fell away, he still loved us. So he kept on loving us. He never gave up his love. He is a persistent lover. He's a man who is persistent. He would not give up. Even the girl said no. She said no a million times. He still loves her. That's wonderful. So he still loves us. So he came to become a man. Now, this is the whole story Brother Lee has been bringing out toward the end of the training, right? He became a man to put on a suit that is suitable to see us. If he came as God, the God in bright glory, every one of us would drop dead. So he still would not get us. So he has to, oh yeah, you know that. When that man, the general, was moving, they were moving the ox was tilted on an ox cart, and the man, the general, tried to help it. He touched the ox, he died. We cannot touch God, touch his holiness. He is too holy for us. We are so sinful. When we touch him, we die. So we cannot even see God face to face. Okay, so he had to put on a good suit that is suitable to see us. That is his humanity. He put on the humanity. He came to look for us. Then he found us in the mud. Then he was there wooing us, talking to us. Though that is to the disciples at that time, right? Then he eventually went to the cross to die for our sins and also die with us to crucify, to destroy the sinful nature and the devil who is part of that physical world. He put all the physical world, including the world itself, including the cosmos, everything, all the evil, all the negative things of this universe, he put it all together on the cross. Hallelujah. That, Brother Lee called that the all-terminating death, or all-inclusive death. Everything got put to death. So including this physical world that is possessing all the people and distracting all the people and attacking God, all that is put to the cross. Then he came out in resurrection on the third day. Okay, we know he became the firstborn son of God. Okay, he did not allow that him to become to put on the human flesh and remain there. He brought that human flesh, human body into divinity, so that even that humanity of Christ became God. If anyone challenges about this sentence, God became man and that man may become God, we can tell them at least one person. If you don't talk about anybody else, at least one person. That is Christ himself who became man, and he was a man who became God. So he became God. But then also, at the same time, that man, that Jesus, that God-man became the life-giving spirit. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. Notice, it's not the only begotten son became the life-giving spirit. It's the last Adam. That's including the whole being. The spirit, the soul, and the body. The whole person of Christ became the life-giving spirit. Okay, then at the same time, something good that happened, but nobody knew. That is that all of us who were distracted, who were ruined by Satan and brought into the physical world, into the cosmos of Satan, we who were the chosen ones got regenerated together, got born together as the twins of this wonderful Jesus Christ, the God-man. You got all this story, right? I'm just reviewing. So we all got born together. So we were all born as one big lot. One day, the day of resurrection, when God had a big delivery, the first one who came out was Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then following there was Peter, there was Paul, there's Brother Nee, there's Brother Lee, there's Janessa, there's Jason Davis, and all of us were just coming out one by one. One big delivery. We were born there. Hallelujah. Amen. Even some of our friends in school that are not saved yet, they were also born there. Amen. We just got to find out who they are. We don't know who they are. We check on this one, he said no. And check on that one, he said no. We still don't know if they are or not. They may be temporarily saying no. So then, remember, this is a whole love affair. So he went through all that to prepare himself as the bridegroom. He came as a man. He went back into glory. So he brought that man into glory. So he's made ready. He's made ready. Okay. Then he sent the apostles, the preachers, to come to us. All of us are still in sin. We're still in sin. So they came to us to woo us. First time, he himself came to woo us. Second time, he came into the apostles. Then the apostles came to woo us. Hey, Jason, God loves you. He wants to marry you. Jason said, forget you. I don't want it. I'll write 10 letters against God and send it to all the newspaper. Right? So he did. I mean, he actually did. He didn't want God. I don't want him. I hate him. Don't talk about him to me. Then when he found a friend called Doug in his class talking to people about the Lord, he was trying to convert him not to believe in Christ. Don't love that Jesus whom you love. Oh yeah, that's good. All the negative people do that. Because they are stuck in this cosmos, the physical world. Okay, but one day, one time at 2:40, he testified yesterday, he met a man. He asked him, why do you want to live? The man said, it's Jesus. boom, it shot into him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Then he repented. Then he, you heard him, he curled up in his bed and cried and repented. What was that? That was the response to the wooing God. The wooing God wants to deliver him out of the world, a physical world, into a spiritual world to marry him. At that time, that night, 2:40, he made an engagement with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 4:11, Paul said, I have betrothed you. I have espoused you to one husband. When did he do that? It is when he went to Corinth. He was telling them about this loving God who wants to marry them, the Corinthians. And at that time, some of the Corinthians responded. And at that time, they got engaged. They got engaged. That engagement, what happened in that engagement is that the Spirit of Christ, the life-giving Spirit, got into their spirit, our spirit, his spirit, my spirit, at the time of conversion, at the time of engagement, at the time of espousal. We got engaged to him, and our spirit came alive. So John 3 tells us that the spirit born of that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So God the Spirit came into us and make our spirit God. Hallelujah. That spirit of ours, that human spirit of ours, is now mingled with the divine spirit who is the bridegroom. Christ. The bridegroom that we've been talking about in Song of Songs is the Spirit. He now is living in our spirit. And that's an engagement. And that delivers us, our spirit, out of this world into the spiritual world. The world, the spiritual world. Okay. But the rest of us, that means our soul and our body, are still stuck in the physical world. See? We're still here. We're still here. We just had breakfast. Then we'll have lunch. Then we'll have dinner. We're still here. Physically. We're stuck in here. Okay, what is God's work today? During this time of espousal, during this time of engagement, before the wedding, before we are ready to be married, you remember Brother Lee said that this country girl is not qualified to marry the king. She has to be made ready to be a queen with all the divine qualities before she is ready to marry him. So we are stuck in this situation. Part of us is divine, and most of us is stuck in the physical world. So stuck that even our heart many times is tied to the spirit, physical world, to the things of the world. So it says that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, do not love the world and the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And what is in the world? That is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is the whole world, worldly system. The whole world system is developed around the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what it's developed around. If we remain in any of these, we are part of the world. If we can get out of this, overcome these, then we are in the spiritual world. We're stuck. But we can be unstuck. So what this training is all about is how to get unstuck. Amen. From the physical world so that we may cleave to the spiritual world, that we may enter into the spiritual world, that we may bring our whole being into the spiritual world. You know, it's interesting. Getting our spirit into the spiritual world is just like that. We say, Lord Jesus. Say that night at 2:40 when he says, when somebody said, it's Jesus. He said, it's Jesus. Boom. He got transferred. And to get our physical body into the spiritual world is also quick. It's at the twinkling of an eye. At the time of the rapture, at the time of his second coming, our body gets transfigured just like that. Out of the physical into the spiritual. To have a body of glory like Christ. You know, Christ's body of glory is quite interesting. He can appear in a room without opening doors. Yet he can eat. And people can touch the hole, the mark of the nail. I don't know how it works. There's a mark of the nail, but he can walk through walls. I don't know how it works. It is a very special spiritual physical body. He can eat fish. He can eat bread. I don't know how it works. But it's very wonderful. I'd like to have a body like that. Wouldn't you like to have it? Didn't you have a hard time getting up this morning? Well, I don't think he had a hard time getting up that morning of a resurrection. I think he probably got up at about 4 o'clock, maybe 3. Who knows how early? Because Mary was there early, before the sun came out, she's already up. Many times when your brothers come to your room, you're still sleeping, right? At 7 o'clock, you're still sleeping. Somebody come in, knock on the door. What happened? We have a body of death, body, physical body. So the bringing of the spirit into the spiritual world is quick. The bringing of the body into the spiritual world is also quick. But to bring the soul from the physical world to the spiritual world, that is tough. That takes many years of transformation. But it can happen. It happened to Apostle Paul, at least we know one. Then Brother Lee said, at least 144,000. At the end of this age, 144,000, at least. So it's possible. So what are we talking about in this training is the way to transfer us from the physical to the spiritual. That is all that we're talking about, the personal time with the Lord, the inner chamber experiences. Physically, there are many things that is holding us, and our heart is latching hold to. Right? Even I talk to some brothers who are working. They tell me that it's impossible to get their mind out of thinking about their business. That's what they say. That's not the truth of the Bible, but that's what they say. And to some of you students may also say the same thing. It's impossible to get away from your studies, especially when you go to a school that is very tough, and especially when final is coming tomorrow. And especially, you haven't studied all through. It's hard to get your mind away from studies. So we're stuck. We're stuck in education. We're stuck in career seeking. We're stuck in wondering, worrying, dreaming about our future. When you're young, you have all these stuff. When you're 75, you probably don't dream about your future. But when you're 20, man, the future is number one. And future is related to career. Future is related to education, where you are now. So education is number one. I think your parents have been telling you that. Well, education is good. It's necessary to have a good mind so we can understand God. See, education gives you two things. One is a training of your mind. Second is a diploma for making money, getting a good career. Brother Lee said in one place, he said he encouraged his grandchildren to go become a doctor But he said he didn't know. What I want him to do is after he gets his doctorate degree, he should just put it away and serve God. So don't get stuck in education. That is the physical world. But how can you get yourself unstuck? You know, we all know, when your heart is on something, you just cannot think about anything but that. You know, Howard illustrated with the brother who's in love. Before he didn't notice that sister has so many books. How come suddenly he noticed that she has so many books, so heavy? Because his mind was on her all the time. He was looking at her. Oh, she has so many books. Oh, she's late. Oh, she's this. She's that. Once our heart is bound to something in the physical world, it's impossible to get out. Wow. Except one way. Coming to Him.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I find myself stuck to something. And I get very worried. Very worried. Me, a brother in the church, still get stuck on this and stuck on that. I'm a believer. How can I be stuck on this and stuck on that? I'm glad Howard said something today. He said he still loves many things in the world. You know why we love many things in the world? That's our being. The whole world, the whole physical world is designed by this fallen man to distract the fallen man. You go to department stores, why are there so many things that is so lovely? Because they were designed just to attract you. Sometimes I go shopping with my wife. We want to buy a coat. But then somehow the coat is at the other end of the department store. They always design that way or something. In the front are all the things you don't need. But then you have to go through them. And then we have to stop here, then we have to stop there, then we have to stop here. I don't have enough time to buy my coat. So the whole world is designed to distract you. How can we be free? It's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. With ourselves, it's impossible. It says with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But then people misuse that verse. With God, all things are possible. So, Lord, give me a Cadillac. No, it's a Mercedes. Give me a Mercedes-Benz. All things are possible with God, so we'll pray. No. That verse talks about not giving you earthly things, but delivering you from earthly things. All things are possible with God to deliver us out of worldly things. How do we get delivered out of the physical world? It is by coming to the God of all possibilities. He's possible. Just come to Him. Lord, I still love my career. I'm stuck. I'm worrying about it every day. Talk to Him. Every time you think about your career, you talk to Him. Don't try to stay away. Sometimes a few 20 years ago when I was in college, I have some problems with different things. I want to pull my brain out and squeeze it, drop it out, and then put it back in, you know, then I'll be free. I can't do that. Doesn't matter how frustrated I became, I was not able to squeeze it out of me. Then the secret is coming to Him. You know, the song that we just sang has a verse. Where is it? 784. It says, this verse 2, huh? Okay, verse 1 is, in the Spirit seek His face. Verse 2, that's the second line. Verse 2, fully open from within. And then, seek Him in confidence. And then speaking nothing in pretense. Just come to Him. Tell Him. See, it's good that we can have private time. If it's publicly, I'll tell Him everything that I'm stuck in, you'll be shocked. And every one of us will be shocked by all the problems that we have. So it's impossible to confess these things, even with your roommate, even with my wife. I cannot confess these things. So I need a private time. I got to come to the private time by myself. I can pray by myself, just he and I alone. Because he is my Savior. He is my beloved. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my bridegroom. He's mine. Amen. Let me tell him, oh Lord, you know, this, that, all these type of problems I have. When else can we be delivered? You try to be a good brother. You try to be a good sister. How can you be a good brother, good sister? Who are you? Who do you think you are? We all came from hell. We were born in sin. From where do we get the juice to become a good brother and good sister? There's no way. It's impossible. How can that rich man give up all his riches to follow Christ? Although he desires to enter into life, but he couldn't do it. He did the commandments. He followed the commandments. He did something nice here, something nice here, something nice here, but he could not fully follow him, follow God. Give up everything. Give up the physical world. It's not possible for him. Then he went away sorrowfully because he knew that he could not do it. That is so foolish. He was standing in front of this bridegroom who was here to seek after him, to love him, to hold, change him from a country girl to become the queen. He was standing in front of him and he didn't recognize him. He only recognized him as a lawgiver, as a religious leader, as a teacher. But not the lover who loves him and wants to turn him from a country girl into a queen. From a money lover to become a God lover. He didn't know that. So he went away sorrowfully. See, many times we go away sorrowfully. We come to a meeting. We hear good things, glorious things, brothers talking about gospel preaching, this and that. Lord Jesus, I've tried that 3 years. I'm about to graduate. Still, I couldn't get one. Oh, Lord Jesus, I can't do it. We just want to walk away sorrowfully. As some brothers were talking about how gloriously he brought 3 to the Lord, and then you want to walk away. Is that right? That's you? He didn't tell me that. We're all like that. Then when they talk about some brother or sister talk about, oh, how happy he was to give up the world, to go full-time, and then all the others will, all the working ones will just go home and cry. And then the students, seniors stand up proclaiming, I'm going to go to the full-time training, hallelujah. And then some others will just feel so bad, they're so ashamed that they are going to medical school. This training, these 2 days, 3 days, is going to turn you around.
Amen.
Turn us all around.
Hallelujah.
To become real Christians.
Amen.
We are fake Christians. We just come to meeting. Sometimes I, just even Thanksgiving, I came to the training conference. I asked myself, what am I doing here? Am I here to seek after him? To be the seeker? Or am I here just because everyone got to go to the conference, got to go to the training? Oh, Brother Lee speaking, I got to be there. Am I there just to seek after some knowledge so then I understand? Now, next time I see Minoru, then I can converse with him. Or did I go there to seek after the beloved, to enter into the New Jerusalem through the gate, to become golden, to become pearl, to become jasper? What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Is it because there's a college conference you got to go, or else you go home, then people ask you, did you go to a college conference? No. Why didn't you go? What's the matter with you? No, we are not here to fake it. We're not here to be religious. We're not here to be hypocrites. We're here to seek after Christ with an inward experience so that our inside gets delivered out of the physical world. Our being. It's so simple. Just come tell him. Then some people tell me, oh, I pray red. I still lose my temper. Well, just pray read again. I still lose my temper. Well, just pray read some more. Just pray some more. Tell him. You know why we lose our temper? Is that we are we. Why we love the world? Because we are we. We are still ourselves. When we are still ourselves, we cannot get away. How can you deliver yourself from yourself? You need a Savior. Let the Savior do it. But when will He do it? Not when you're going to class, listening to the lecture. Not when you're in a meeting, listening to a message. But when you're contacting Him in class, in the meeting, in the before class, after class. The times that we come to Him privately, individually, secretly, touching the hem of His garment, that's when we get changed. That's when we get saved. So don't look at ourselves. Don't look at yourself, of your failures, of your successes, of your problems, of everything. Just everything that you worry about, you bring it to Him in your private time. You just bring it to Him. Tell Him, Lord, forgive me. I still don't love you that much. I'm still stuck. Then you start to make a list to Him. And then the list gets longer and longer. Then you get shocked how terrible a person you are. You've been saved for 10 years. Still, you have all these problems. Look like an unbeliever. That's fine. Say, we don't know that. Only the Lord knows. Just tell Him. Just keep telling Him. How about this? How about that? How about this? How about that? How about me? I'm still late going to meetings. I always have been late for 10 years. I'm still late. How about that? And then on and on and on. Oh, lots of problems. But it's okay. He knew that before He came to save us. Don't you think He knew all the problem we had? I think He knew all the problem that we have more than we know ourselves, right? We're just finding out under His light. Before we got saved, we are the perfect people. After we get saved, we become wretched wrecks. Some people told me, the more they go on, the worse they are. It's not true. It's after we got saved, we got the light to see that we are wretched wrecks. But before we got saved, we're in darkness. Everyone wears a tuxedo. Think they do. They are also perfect. But actually, when the light is turned on, everyone is just like cockroaches trying to run away from the light. That's us. But it's okay. That's why we are talking about intimate fellowship, personal, private fellowship with the Lord. You know, some people talk about not knowing what to say in our private time with the Lord. You start to talk about Him, you have a lot to say. You start to talk about yourself, you have a lot to say. It's impossible to finish. You want to talk about Him, about how beautiful He is, how wonderful He is, what He did to you, for you, and everything. There's a lot of things to talk about. From creation, choosing, all the way to New Jerusalem. From Genesis through Revelation. You can talk all you want. You want to talk about yourself, you have a lot to talk about. To be saved. The rotten being. Look at the vital group training. Brother Lee gave a whole list of all sorts of problems we have. But some of the people took that list and started to confess, then they find themselves in more introspection and condemnation. Anyone had that experience? The more you confess, the worse you feel? Well, that is not confession. That is self-inflicted introspection with whips. Confession is not that. Confession is based on the Lord shining upon us to show us that we are not Him. yet in what points, in what things that we have done, in what things that we are. Then we come to Him and tell Him, Lord, forgive me. I'm still like that. I still did that because I have been living in myself. I want to come to You. I want You to fill me now. Forgive me, cleanse me, fill me until I'm just like You. That's confession. Confession should end in joy, in release, in relief. So then, when we finish with confession, we are so happy because we are in touch with Him. That is how we get delivered out of this physical world. We still love so many things. You know, brothers and sisters, how many of you don't care for your future? You don't? You don't care? Boy, you're bad. You're too spiritual. If you don't care for your future, you're too spiritual. You may become loose. If you care for your future, you are too physical. You will get stuck. What we need is bringing our real condition to the Lord to be free. Let's see. There's I want to finish up a little bit more on this two world thing. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Tells us that we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. Because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this world of physical world is temporal, it is seen. And the world that is spiritual is eternal, and it is not seen. When we are living in this physical world still, humanly speaking, we have so many things that we need, so many things that we want, so we get stuck in the physical world. But there is something that is eternal, that is unseen, that eventually that will take over the physical. So if you are fighting for the physical, you will lose out. If you are fighting for the eternal, the spiritual, you will be eternally satisfied. A brother, Gerald and I, were talking to a brother, and he said, was it Gerald? No, it was... Gerald was there, but there was another setting. Sorry, it was with Benjamin Chen. The brother was saying that he tried to pray. He tried to contact the Lord. And he couldn't get far. Too many times when he prayed by himself in the morning, he got distracted. Because a lot of it is trial and error. And he hates that. He's a big businessman. He likes to put in a thousand here and take back 10,000. He hates to put in $1,000 and get $2 back. Then Benjamin Chen explained. He said, well, even if you gain everything of the physical world. Oh, no. Before that, he said, well, that's why I just want to go and just do big business, and at least I am good at something. It's a pretty logical way of saying things. instead of fooling around with something that I'm not so sure if I can get anything. Or I'm just getting a 10% return. I want to get 1,000% return. So I go to business, I know I can do it, I'll make it good, make it big. So he's doing that. But then he came to the training. He wants to talk about it, but he still cannot give up the spiritual side. Okay, so what Benjamin Chen said, even if you gain the 1,000% of the physical, it is temporal. It will end. It will end by itself or end when you die, right? End by itself because you lose, fail in your business, or by the time you die, if you're very successful, but at least by the time you pass away, it's all over. But if you gain even 10% of the spiritual, that's eternal. So sometimes some of us was it Howard or Gerald was saying, when you are praying in the morning, you feel, oh, how about finals? I got to study for finals. I got to study for the midterm. I'm wasting my time sitting here struggling to stay awake, struggling to recapture my thought. I don't know how much Christ I have gained. So I might as well go and study. At least I can get 10 more points if I study harder. I'm not knocking studying. You got to study, okay? We even try to get all students get straight A's in Berkeley. So it's not that we knock studying, but it's our heart. We go for things that are physical, eventually we'll end up losing all. But when we go for the spiritual, even we gain slowly. Don't worry. Anything we do in the beginning, like Gerald said earlier, right? Most of us have not been trained or helped, shepherded in doing this private time to touch the Lord. Most of us don't know what to do. Well, what do you expect? If you don't know what to do on something, you think you start today and then you have a glorious success? That's too easy. The Lord may not even let that happen. Let you seek some. You can knock on the door. You try to push that door. It doesn't work. You have to do something. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. But he didn't say, knock the first time, it shall be open. He didn't say, seek the first time, you'll find him. You have to seek. Seek means you cannot find him right away. Knock means it's not wide open when you came up to the door. Knock means if the door is closed, you have to knock. They may not open. You have to knock again. Door knocking is not many doors to find one open ones. So, don't be distressed. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. It will take time. It will take time. It will take time. It may take you half a year to 1 year to 2 years. Brother Nee said, after he got saved, some older sisters asked him for 2-3 years, all the time, have you been reading your Bible? What have you gotten lately from the Word? He was asked. He was checked on. Brother Nee, Watchman Nee. He was checked on for 2-3 years. How about you? Maybe you need somebody to check on you for 2-3 years. But don't give up because you didn't get the light. Don't give up because you are still going to East Coast and Hong Kong and everywhere else when you're sitting there on your seat. Don't give up because you don't get any enlightenment. Don't give up because you don't get, quote-unquote, some enjoyment. Your concept of enjoyment, whatever it may be. Don't give up because you don't see the effect. Don't give up. With the spiritual things, we only see the destiny and we only find a way and just keep going at it. That's all. We don't try one time. If at first we try, we fail, then we give up. That's not spiritual. To enter into the spiritual world, we just have to identify the goal. What is the goal? Our destiny, our goal is to become God. And what is the way? The way is to come in contact with the Spirit, allow the Spirit to fill us until He transforms our whole being. That is it. So then what do we do every day?
We just keep coming to the Lord. Just keep coming to the Spirit. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Then we have this problem. We just tell them about that. We have that problem. We tell them about that. We are distracted here. We tell them about that. We're distracted there. We are bound here. We are worrying there. We have anxiety because of this. We have everything. Just tell him. Keep telling him. Keep telling him. Keep telling him. And don't worry about the result so much. Take care of the time being with him. Just keep talking to him. Keep praying. Keep reading the word. Keep singing the songs. Keep coming to him every morning a certain amount of time. Schedule your time. Spend some time with him. And then, at the end, after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years, gradually we'll be transformed. It's very simple. But we are so distracted by our performance. We are so distracted by our feelings. So eventually we try something, oh, it doesn't work, not so well, I only get a little, then forget about it. Don't do that. Because we need to get out of this physical world to get into the spiritual world. And the only way is to come to him all the time in the spirit, come to the inner chamber of the spirit, and contact him, allow him to touch us, expose us, fill us, cleanse us, until we get there. Hallelujah. Amen. And praise the Lord for the church. Because of the church, we have brothers, leading brothers, older brothers and sisters who can help us. And we have Brother Lee keep on reminding us, opening up the word to us. So we need the corporate. But the corporate is to help us so that we may have good individual contact with him. And the individual is good to help the corporate so that the church life will be glorious. So all these is needed. Amen. Amen.
And that is also my burden. Two things. Number one, concerning this matter of physical and spiritual. Firstly, those four words from the first four messages by Brother Lee. Personal, affectionate in our pursuit, and then private and spiritual in our fellowship, right? With him, with the Lord. I would like to use four, what? Antonyms. Is that the word? That may help us to appreciate these four things. To be not personal is what? Is simply just to be corporate. Corporate, in this case, in a negative sense. You understand? Then, as opposed to being affectionate, I would say, the word that came to my mind is to be impassive. Not to be impassionate, that's another word, but to be impassive. Affectionate means full of a loving feeling. To be impassive means to have no feeling. No feeling. Right? You know that, brothers and sisters, there are two ways to pursue the Lord. One way is corporate and impassive. You are just with a crowd. You sing songs, you play guitars, you exclaim, you proclaim in the meetings. You do all the things. But actually, I check with you, with your life, I do not find much passion there towards Christ. You're in a program. You're in a rote performance. And I tell you, I have seen this, and we're still seeing this in the church life with many young people. I feel very sorry about this. It is good to better than nothing, right? At least you're here pursuing. But my point is, right, we need to go on.
Amen.
This is the burden this weekend. to elevate all the level of all this, of spiritual pursuit in our young people, and even including some of us who are not that young. Right, Brother Nat? Don't you feel this is our real need? It's quite easy, I tell you, an easy job because I've done it. And in some ways, I'm not bad at it, to tell you the truth. To what? To stir up the young people. Oh, I'm quite good at it. If you want to stir, you invite me. You may think, oh, Minoru, you're too calm and collect. You're not good at this. You haven't seen the goods in my pocket yet. I have a few bucks here. That's quite good for stirring you up. No joke. But this time, and there's a place for that. I don't even say that's all bad. Brother Lee stirs us up very much. But this time, I would like to tell you this time. You know, before this training, Brother Lee had several sessions with some of the co-workers in which he shared with us his intrinsic burden for this training. I mean, this past one. He said, listen to this. He said, brothers, now we all know the high peak of the divine revelation, but we are deeply lacking in experience, including me, referring to himself. He said, brothers, I'm so short. Then he said, after this training, don't just go back, promise me. He even asked us, brothers, promise me. If you want me to speak in this training, promise me, don't go back just to review the training. Go back and apply it and experience it and bring the saints into it.
Amen.
This is why we have these 2 days. You see, how I yearn to see so many college-age young people in the Lord's recovery going on from just a corporate and what? An impassive seeking into a personal and affectionate seeking of the Lord. This is too crucial, saints. This is what the brothers have been talking about. You must become a lover of the Lord. And you must seek him in a most personal way. Without that, your corporate life is a house on sand. It's a matter of time when the rain comes, that's from God. When the storm comes, that's from Satan. And when the river rises up, that's from man. From all three directions, the test will come and that house collapses because it's built on sand. Is your pursuit of the Lord on sand, or is it on solid rock? It must be personal and affectionate. Then, the next two words, the opposite of what? Of private, right? Is what? Public. It's all in the open. Everyone can see it. You what? You get what you see. Is that the phrase? Huh? What you see is what you get. I tell you, this is the most terrible kind of Christian. I see him, that's it. There's not even, you know, someone say Christianity is a mile long and a millimeter thick. That's Christianity. It seems it pervades the whole earth, but you touch it, it's only like what? Like a membrane. Is that your personal life? Is that your fellowship life with the Lord? All over the place, but no depth. We are burdened that the college-age young people will develop a private fellowship life with the Lord. And that can only happen in the chamber of Christ.
Amen.
What is that? That is our spirit.
Amen.
where the Holy of Holies is. You see, our spirit is God's dwelling, private dwelling on the earth. What? Let me ask you, do you think God lives publicly or privately? If he lives publicly, the whole world will believe in him already. Just because he's a God who hides himself, so today so many people don't even believe he exists. But where does he hide? He hides, number one, in the third heavens. But he also hides in the spirit of the saints. He hides in you. He lives in you. So much so that sometimes even you don't find him. Even I don't know where he is. He's so deep. I agree with Paul. We do need to do more knocking. And more what? More seeking. If he's so public, you don't need to knock. You don't need to seek. Just because he's so private, you need to seek. He only is there awaiting the seeking believer. All right. Then the last word is spiritual. Now, I'd like to make you all quite clear that this spiritual, the opposite of this spiritual, is not evil. It's physical. There's a big difference. You may think I need to get out of something bad to get into the spiritual. No, you're wrong. The point here is we need to get out of something physical to get into something spiritual. I tell you, saints, our young people today also need to be delivered from just a physical, what? Realization, sensation of the Lord into the spiritual realm. You know the Catholics and many in the different religions, they must have some physical icon. You know what an icon is? They need physical objects to remind them of the spiritual world. Am I right? Do you know, my wife, who got a degree in art history, told me this. This is why in the Middle Ages, most of the artwork are all in the religious subjects. They were, in the beginning, not done for art purposes, artistic purposes. They were done for religious purposes. Because at that time, the Roman Empire, Roman Church was dominating. They wanted to make sure all the people in the known world at that time subscribed to that religion. But these people are not even saved. So they commissioned these painters, sculptors, just to do all kinds of religious scenes from the Bible, Jesus, you know, the halo, all these, not so that they can appreciate the art, but for the sole purpose to use physical means to what? To remind them of spiritual things. So today they need the rosary bead. They need that wood cross. They need even, you know, a physical Bible for good luck. Do you know what I mean? Well, we don't have those things, obviously. But I tell you, it is possible in the church life that your life relies on the physical outward things to keep you going. You take them away, you're at a loss. You don't know how to even carry yourself about anymore. There's one verse in Romans chapter 3. It says, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, not outwardly. If you go find in Watchman Nee's set of writings, there is a particular message he gave called not outwardly, but inwardly. And it says here, he is a Jew who is one outwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, and not in letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to cultivate an inward life to become an inward Jew in the spirit. And our praise is not from men. Oh, this brother is doing this and doing that. But your praise is from the invisible God. Because what you did is inward. We're very burdened that we would become an inward person. I don't mean introspective, but I do mean 100% inward.
Amen.
The recovery is not an outward thing. So Brother Lee is so bold to say even the church has a physical aspect. And we must bridge ourselves over, out of, just that sheer physical aspect into the spiritual aspect. Two brothers are praying here. One is praying outwardly. The other is praying inwardly. We're having a meeting here, but some of us, of you, are here physically. Other of us are here spiritually. You're in the brother's house. Some of you are in the brother's house physically only. But others of you are in that brother's house spiritually.
Amen.
You are here cleaning the hall, but some are cleaning it physically. Others are cleaning it spiritually. A big difference. One is pleases God. The other just pleases yourself and someone who sees you. Maybe the elders. I don't know who. Maybe your roommate. What are you seeking? There has to come a time that you have to find the spiritual world yourself. Now, when it comes to this matter of the spiritual world, it's mainly, I would say, in the book of 1 Corinthians. Again and again in that book, Paul uses this word spiritual. In the beginning, he says, you are still fleshly. You are still soulish. I tell you, the soulish and the fleshly are both in the physical realm. You are not yet spiritual. To be spiritual doesn't mean you walk around with a certain look, certain demeanor. You see how spiritual I am. Forget about that. We are talking about to be spiritual means to be with God. Because only God is spirit. And God is in our spirit. To be really spiritual means you are a person in the spirit. You know your spirit. You spend time in the spirit. You are spiritual. So there it says, don't be soulish. To be physical means to be fleshly and to be soulish. Whenever you catch yourself doing that, man, you are not spiritual. What is to be spiritual? Is to be in a realm where Christ is, in my spirit. So what is the inner chamber? Why we stress the inner chamber? Because that's the place where the only place in this universe where you and I can be spiritual. That is in our human spirit, regenerated spirit. Young brothers and sisters, be there. Spend much time there. Spend more time there, longing to be there.
Amen.
Then later on it says what? Later on it says, a man, right, who is spiritual. In chapter 14, seek to be spiritual. Be spiritual. Then you can prophesy to build the church. Sometimes I see some prophesying is altogether physical prophesying. I don't touch anything spiritual there. Right? Why? Because you're just doing something. You are not in the inner chamber. Unless you have been there, then I know you are coming out of that chamber. That is something spiritual. Right? Some even call on the Lord physically. Oh, Lord Jesus. Physical. Some you hear in the calling, there's a touch with Christ. There's the triune God. There's life sparks there. That this man has found the spiritual world. Have you found it? Then at the end of that book, it says, even Christ was sown physical, soulish. And he resurrected what? A spiritual body. You see, even Christ have to go through what? To what? Bury the physical to raise up spiritual. So today, the way for us is to deny our flesh, deny our mind, deny our soul to get into the spirit. And that's where the spiritual Christ is, and that's where we will become spiritual. Actually, to be spiritual is just to be God. And to be with God, one with God. Now, the second thing I'd like to say is this. In this time with the Lord, I have some fellowship even within Irvine, but I'd like to just bring this up very quickly. I feel what Brother Gerald shared with us this morning on opening the mouth and what kneeling down is marvelous. Marvelous. If you would practice it. Right? If you would practice it. Really. Do it. Do it. You have to open your spirit. You have to open your heart. Then you have to open your mouth. Three opens. When all three are open, you're fine. Your time will be fine. Now, the few words I like to give you, I would say, is in four pairs of two. Four pairs of two words to help you in your time with the Lord. The first pair, turn and open. How do you spend the time with the Lord? The first thing is not to do this, do that. The first thing is turn your heart and open your spirit to the Lord. You say, I don't know how to do this. Well, you know, you just do it. Forget all the wandering mind. Forget about praying this, asking the Lord for that. You just forget everything when you come to the Lord with a hymnal, with your Bible, with an open spirit, with a turned heart. You just come to the Lord. I was so touched by Brother Howard speaking. You know, when he was speaking, at times it was like he was speaking to the Lord, right? He wasn't giving us a sermon this morning. He was kind of talking. Be that way with the Lord. You know, some of us go to the Lord ready to give the Lord a test. You know, you go to the Lord with a microphone. You know, up front. Lord, you are the process consummated triune God who about 2,000 years ago came to this earth. Thank you, Lord. And after 3.5 years of living the human life where you were perfect and sinless, Lord, then you went to the cross to die, then you died a death to finish and terminate three things. Lord, number one, you terminate the flesh, then you terminate Satan, then 3 days you resurrected. Hallelujah. Today, this is something we all would always say, became the life-giving spirit. Lord, now you live in my spirit. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, the Lord knows all that already. He doesn't need you to remind him of his processes. Now, I'm not being legal here to say you cannot pray that way. No, I'm not. But I'm saying, trying to tell you, a lot of our prayer is mechanical. Programmatic, message-giving, informational, yet what? No emotion there. Yesterday, Gerald said, when you come to the Lord's table, even a lot of the prayers I found in the Lord's table are this kind of prayer. Lord, you did this. Lord, you did that. You did this, did that. Finally, now you are the bread on the table. Now we eat you. No impassive. I don't sense what? Feeling. I don't sense affection. I don't sense a kind of what? Overflowing of emotion towards the Lord. No wonder the Lord to you is objective, far away. It's your parents, Lord, not yet yours. You have to cultivate this. You must cultivate this, dear saints. By what? By turning your heart and opening your spirit. Number one. Number two, I'll be very quick. Number two, You have to what? You have to love him and seek him. That's a pair. First thing, the best thing to do when you come to the Lord is to love him and seek him. You know, when I was courting my wife, yes, I said, I love you, Vicky. But if I only know how to say this, she will get tired of this. Even how lovely that word is, she should get tired. Can you say something else? I mean, at least explain what you mean by you love me. Use some other words, right? I don't expect you to be Shakespearean, but at least say something else. But I found some young people among us, Lord Jesus, I love you. What else? Okay, Lord Jesus, I love you some more. Lord, I really love you. You don't know. That's so mechanic. You need to say some, use some other words. Right? When you are in love, you have a lot of words. You're writing poetry on the spot. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In Psalms 45. My heart is overflowing with things touching the King from this seeking one. Psalm 45. You need to what? You need to develop what? Some real vocabulary in loving the Lord. Right? You have to love him and seek him. Seek is what Paul talked about. Knock. Don't give up. Keep knocking. That is to seek. You don't feel the Lord here yet. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Lord, I'm still seeking after you. Still seeking. Isn't that good? Still seeking. Then the third pair, is it third or what? Yeah. The third pair of words, I would say, is what? Repent and confess. Why I say this? Because right after this lover kissed the Lord, and the Lord led him to the inner chamber, immediately she said was, oh, but I'm black. You see, a lot of times, the moment we really touch the Lord, frequently, the immediate thing is some light will come to show how black you are, how sinful and worldly, and how much you have offended people, this and that, this and that, this and that. You are. You're black. Now, right away, you confess and you repent. You know the result is what? The result is always cleansing. Oh, you just feel waves and waves of not just the blood, but even the spirit cleansing you. My, anyone who does not haven't taken such a spiritual shower has really missed it. You need to experience that. Just shower by the Lord. Just even, sometimes even say, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, stop it. It's too much. It's too much. It's just coming, coming. You need to experience that. Then finally, I would say, what? Ask and listen. You know the song?
Yeah.
I tell you, the best prayer, you actually ask less, but listen a lot. You keep this word. If you don't know the reality of this, keep this, write this down. The best prayer is when the Lord spoke more than you speak. You would think prayer is I come and speak to the Lord. No. Prayer is actually the main time the Lord speaks to you. In my prayer time, I ask very little. I spend a lot of time listening to him speaking to me. And his speaking to me is his dispensing, his infusing. Not just making known his will to me, but his dispensing himself by his speaking into me. I tell you, after such kind of time, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, you emerge from that inner chamber glowing. More God. This is the way, what? To fellowship with our beloved. What? To become him. Brothers and sisters, this is our burden. Now, okay, we've gone a little bit further. Now, this afternoon, this is what we're going to do. After you rest, and please rest, you need a rest, right? At 2:30, we will come together here first for just a little short fellowship, very brief. Then you will go off again to have this kind of time. Sorry, there are no cemetery in Irvine. You have to find your own cemetery somewhere, right? Somehow cemeteries are great places. Hallelujah. Because it's all so quiet there, right? No one bothering you. Okay. To have this time with the Lord again, I would suggest you use this hymn. If you don't even know what hymn to use, use this hymn, 784. A lot of words there to help you to contact the Lord and some of the verses that we have brought out today. All right? That will be from 2:30 to 3:30. Then from 3:30 to 5:30, we will have an afternoon time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some announcement.